Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Reverend Phil coming to share your word with us, Lord God. I pray that you speak through him, Lord God, and we receive your word well and deep, and we hold on to it. And bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I really appreciate the opportunity to be back with you again. I'm thankful to the elders and to Pastor Mark for the opportunity scheduled before he went on sabbatical so that I would be able to be here on the final Sunday before he's done with sabbatical. But it's a great delight to be able to be with you and to know the Lord who never fails. He is great and greatly to be praised. As I come to you, you know, school's back in session, everything's going hopefully smoothly. I am back to driving my school bus, and I have some new students on my bus, and so I introduce myself to them. I'm Philip to my the Amish kids that I drive. I also have some non-Amish children that I drive. They know me as Phil. And I said, if they wanted to really get my attention, they would say Philip. And if they say it like my Amish children, it'll be Philip. And that gets them. So anything you want to do, I have other code names too, but I'm not going to share those with you. And just a little bit, when we open up the Word, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great chapter of heroes of the faith. So I wanted to just start things off. I know it's Family Sunday, so we have some who are a little younger. But who are some of your heroes in the Bible? Bible stories maybe that you've had in your children's church and other activities. I know one that many people say right away. Begins with a J. Jesus. Yeah, he's the ultimate hero. But then there are some other great stories in the scriptures. Anybody can say the name of a hero of faith, a favorite hero of faith.
Abraham.
We'll hear more about him later.
Daniel.
Peter.
Job.
Is that what you said, Job? All right, I was talking to a lady earlier this week who said that her favorite character in the Bible was Job. I thought, how unusual. But she talked about that going through all those things but holding on to faith. Someone else said another. Moses.
Joshua.
Ezekiel.
Mary.
Great people who are heroes in the scriptures largely because of their faith. And that's what we'll be focusing on today. I want to thank your church leadership board also for making it possible for Pastor Mark to have a sabbatical. A great opportunity for him to rest, to recharge, to study, and perhaps even develop faith dreams of what God might want as you move forward. Earlier this month, we're going to test this. All right. Earlier this month, Susan and I had what some people would call a dream vacation. We were able to go with some friends to Prince Edward Island in Canada. And we traveled to Prince Edward Island, a little northeast of Maine. So for those who are into geography, we have Maine up in the northeast of the country, and at the lower, the southeasterners of Maine going on into New Brunswick and then over to Prince Edward Island. We drove up. It was much cheaper than flying, but also we got to visit family along the way, as I have relatives in New Hampshire. So it was a fun opportunity for us to go. The folks that you see in the picture with us, some of you who've been around the Alliance for a while may recognize they are Mark and Cheryl Grossamy. Mark used to be the administrator at our district office some years ago, and Cheryl was the director of disciple making for our district for many years. We traveled to the town of Cavendish, which was the home of the famous author Lucy Maud Montgomery, who wrote Anne of Green Gables. The house that you see there is the Green Gables house, the one that was owned by her aunt and uncle, and she loved to spend time there, and this was sort of the setting, the inspiration, as she was placing Anne at Green Gables. Cavendish was also the birthplace of Albert Benjamin Simpson. Some of you may have heard that name before. He's the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So he was born there, and actually the Simpson family, there's a whole lot of Simpsons when you walk through the cemetery and see all the gravestones, and a couple of other family names too, including Montgomery's, the different names that were the founding families of this particular area of Prince Edward Island. So there is some possibility that Simpson was related to Lucy Maud Montgomery. Not that that should necessarily hold it, but it's just a point of interest as you're traveling around. So while we were at Green Gables, we visited the Green Gables house, and there were characters who were workers who dressed up like the characters. These two that are on the bench with Susan and Cheryl are portraying Anne and Diana. And as we got to talk with them, and we'd hear them in their conversations. People would say, "Can I take a picture of you?" "Oh, what is that? What is that thing that you're holding in your hand?" And they tried to be living back in the 1800s and looking forward. But lots of fun times that we were there. And while we were at Green Gables, we also met another family. Let's move ahead one slide, please. There we go. So we met a family who was also visiting. Now, we didn't know that they were visiting because they were dressed in costume. They were dressed in period wear. And as we were going to have that picture that I showed you that had Mark and Cheryl and Susan and I in front of Green Gables, this one lady had been taking pictures. And so I asked, "Can you take a picture of us too?" "Well, I guess so." She was just a visitor like we were. I thought she was a worker. But anyway, she took our picture, which you saw. And then we got to see them as they're here on that same bench. As we saw them, we found out that there was a sort of a matriarch of the family, the grandmother, and then her daughters and her granddaughters that make up this family that was there for the day. And they're all dressed in those outfits for the day. What a great idea. Susan loved it. And I mean, we all loved it, seeing it, but Susan especially loved it. So the next time that I saw them, we were on a path walking around the grounds, and I said, "Which one of you is the grandmother?" And when she was identified, I said, "We have a family gathering event coming up very soon that has been a dream of Susan." And I said, "That was her dream. And now you have messed it all up, because now she has a new dream." And the lady wasn't slowed down at all. She said, "You can have two dreams." So maybe Steph might be asked to go to Prince Edward Island in costume to be a part, if we can arrange that with all the rest of the family. Now, these types of dreams are wonderful, and they can be contagious. Just like this family dream that they were having, that then became a special dream as well. So they can be contagious. These are not the dreams of the nighttime that may be good or not so good, nightmares. These are the dreams of what could be. Dreams that look into the future. This future aspect of dream is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. meant with his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. He said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream, he said. Martin Luther King dreamed of a future with equality and justice. Now, some of the hopes of his dream have occurred. Things are better than back in the days when he was giving this dream. There are other parts, though, that are still seem far off. There's more to be done, much more to be accomplished. The dream lives on. Dreams look forward, and they envision something that has not yet been seen or accomplished. Does that sound familiar as you look at the verse that's on the screen? Faith also looks forward and dreams of the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Like a dream, faith looks forward out into the future. It envisions something that's still to come. But faith is more than a dream, because dreams only think about what might possibly happen. Faith holds on to the sure promises in the Word of God. God has always been sure to his word, always been sure to his promises. Anything that he said will take place, will take place. We trust in him. We have faith in him. Faith is a key to the heroic lives of the people who are described in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles or on your devices to Hebrews chapter 11, where we will be focused for the rest of this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. This verse that is on the screen before you is the one that's going to stay on most of the time. So when we refer to others, you'll be needing to look at your text. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, as you're turning there, I want to come back to look at verse 1 again and consider a few different translations of this verse. The original sort of a powerful word. We're not thinking back to Greek and Hebrew at this point, but we're thinking about the NIV when it first came out, 1978 copyright. That one, that particular translation says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. A little differently than the updated version, which is on the screen. The New American Standard Bible says, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then New King James Version says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is foundational. Faith is the substance. The New King James Version says that it is the substance, and that word is the more literal translation from the original Greek. But the first, it's a compound word in the original language. And the first part of the word means that which is under or below. And then the second part, it means a standing pillar or column. So it's saying that the support, the standing pillar or the foundational piece for a building, that's the word here. So faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation on which all the rest of our faith life and experience is built. Faith is key. Faith is essential. As verse 6 tells us in your scriptures, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And back to our verse on the screen. Faith is the evidence of or certainty of things not seen. As I was preparing for this message and reading over this passage, I saw something that I hadn't seen before. I've been a pastor for over 40 years. And I preached from this passage a number of times, but this was a sort of a new revelation to me. Now, when you hear it, you'll say, I've seen that all along. But for me, this was really fresh, and I appreciated the Lord pointing it out to me. The thing that I recognize is something that is not seen. How do you recognize something that is not seen? That's sort of a oxymoron, isn't it? As I prepared for the message, thinking about this, I see that faith expresses confidence in things that are not seen, right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's there. But the new thing I recognize is the parallel with how God works. Look at verse 3. What is seen was not made out of what was visible. This is the theological concept of creation ex nihilo, or creation out of nothing. And in my reading of the verse, I recognize the phrase, out of nothing seen, or out of nothing visible. So faith is a confidence in things not seen, even in our creation and the creation story and what God did. He did it out of what was not visible, what was not seen. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. God had said something was going to happen. The flood was going to happen. It wasn't there to be seen. The people had not ever seen a worldwide flood like this. And Noah believed, he trusted, and he built the ark. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He'd never been there before. He'd not seen what it was like, but he followed. He obeyed. Verse 13, thinking of the group of heroes, they did not receive the thing promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Though they didn't have the fulfillment in their own hands, they didn't see it in their own lifetimes, they were looking ahead and they believed that this would happen because they believed God. God who is ever faithful. They didn't have that fulfillment in God, but they trusted they trusted in God. They trusted him that he would fulfill his promise. Though it hasn't appeared yet, it will be. In a more contemporary way of saying it, these believers were practicing an already, not yet kind of faith. GotQuestions.org describes this idea in this way. The theological concept of already but not yet holds that believers are actively taking part in the kingdom of God, although the kingdom will not reach its full expression until sometime in the future. We are already in the kingdom, but we do not yet see it in its glory, so that we live in reality of the kingdom and yet know that there's more yet to come. Though the fulfillment was still far off, these heroes of faith lived as if the promise was an assured reality. It affected the way they lived every day because they knew what God had promised. Can you see the parallel here? Confidence of things not seen. Creation made out of things that were not visible. Noah's warning about something that was never seen before. Abraham's travel, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, we believe that God, the God whom we cannot see, will bring about the fulfillment of his promises, even though we don't see them yet. Faith aligns with the unseen God who creates out of nothing and who promises things not yet seen. Now, that phrase has a lot in it about things not being seen, so I want to say it again. Faith aligns with the unseen God who creates out of nothing and who promises things not yet seen. Let's just pause for a moment and pray and ask the Lord for his understanding. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all creation. All of this beauty that we see around us from day to day is a gift from you. It's hard for us to understand or even to fathom how this could have been created out of nothing. And yet, it is your testimony. It is your truth. It is your blessing to us that out of nothing you gave us all of this. And Lord, in that being out of nothing, we also are called upon by faith to trust in things that we cannot yet see, and yet things that you have said will be, and things that you have said are in reality. The spiritual aspect of life, heaven. You have told us about the angels that we don't physically see, but we believe. You have told us also and warned us against demons, those fallen angels, and against Satan. We don't see, we see the impact, but we don't see them individually. But Lord, we believe. Lord, help us by faith to believe that you will fulfill all the promises of your word. That you are the victor, you are the righteous one, and that you are bringing your kingdom to pass. And there's coming a day, and it may not be very long from now, when Jesus will come again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to trust you. Help us to live by faith. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So faith and dreams look forward. It looks into the future. Verse 26, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead. He was looking to the future, to his reward. In the eyes of the world and the people around him of that day, Moses had already had an important position. He was like a prince of Egypt. He had great status. He had wealth. He had power. But he was willing to set that aside to be identified with the people of God and the promise of God. Unbelievers would say that Moses made a terrible mistake. Instead, of being in large and in charge, he has this ragtag group of thousands and thousands of people following him, but they're out in the desert, in the wilderness. What good is that going to be? For the people of the time, it just looked like a mistake. But Moses looked beyond the here and now, and he trusted in the promises of God and in the God of the promises. How does somebody do that? How does somebody experience the struggles and the turmoil, even the rebellion that Moses had to experience and go through as a leader of the people? How can a person endure that for so long and still believe in God? They live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, is that certainty of things not yet seen, but they will happen. They live by faith. The people listed in this great chapter were not heroes simply because of their names or the location where they lived or even that they identified as being a part of the Israelites, the people of God. They were heroes because of their faith in God and their faith in his promises. Throughout the chapter, the author tells the stories, and in each case, he tells us that they are by faith. 20 times in this short chapter, it says, by faith. One time it says, through faith. It's with different words. But it's the idea that faith is foundational. Faith is the substance. All of these people were characterized by faith. Faith was and is the key to heroic living. We're going to look at the example of Abraham. Abraham, when called to a place, this is from verse 8, that he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Think about Abraham's life up to that point. Before the call of God, Abraham may have had his own dream about what his life was going to be like. He was a man who had quite a few servants and also livestock. He would have been considered a pretty wealthy man in his community. He was part of a significant family. He could have been somebody if he'd simply stayed there and minded his own business. But after God spoke to him, Abraham picked up and moved away from his comfortable lifestyle and his surroundings to journey to a foreign land, believing the promise of God. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He hadn't been given everything on a map or with a GPS. He didn't have that, but instead he began to move. He began to follow, and the Lord told him, "This is the way, walk in it." He would go so far, and then the Lord would let him know when he had arrived. Go this way, turn there. I'll let you know when you get there. Even more than geographical ignorance, Abraham didn't know what kind of land or what kind of people who he would be going to. It wasn't like saying, "Hey, we won the Super Bowl. Where are you going next?" "I'm going to Disney World." Now, that wasn't Abraham's case. He didn't know what it was going to be like when he got there. And even then, after he arrived in that land and he's identified by the Lord, "This is the land that I will give to you and to your descendants," Abraham doesn't immediately say, "Okay, now we've got it all," and start ruling over the land. No, it says that he made his home there like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as his sons Isaac and Jacob did as well, who were heirs with him of the same promise. They did not live in permanent structures, in permanent dwellings. They were wanderers in the promised land. As I thought about this, I wondered what it was like for Abraham. He lived like a Bedouin, moving with his family and his possessions from one watering hole, one spring, to another, and finding the place where they would be safe, where they could be productive, where they would be blessed. And they went from place to place. We know in the scriptures that it tells us that there were some places where they would go and dig a well, and the people who were from the local area would say, "No, that's our water, that's our well." And Abraham would have to move on. Things were very difficult and trying during those days. He interacted with local leaders, and we hear stories in the scriptures about how he got along with some of them and was considered a sort of like an equal, but he was an outsider. He was always an outsider. And I can imagine that there were times when Abraham took his son Isaac out and looked over the land with him. And he would say to Isaac, "God has promised us and our family this land. No, we don't own it yet, but we will, because God said it. One day, all of this will be yours." Verse 10. How could Abraham live like this and still be positive? Because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect is God. Faith looks forward. Abraham was looking to a future that God had promised for his family on earth, but he was also looking to the heavenly city. He was looking to the city whose architect is God. He was looking to God for his sustenance, for his being, for his whole reason for existence. He believed, he trusted in the Lord. Faith looks forward even when, and especially when, our circumstances grow difficult. I've known some people who have had a very difficult life and have sometimes struggled with their faith. I can remember one time when someone said, "If this is what it means to be a Christian, then I don't want to be one anymore." Now, thankfully, that was just a temporary time, and they later were able to give thanks to the Lord for bringing them through the dark trial. But in the dark trial, it can be very difficult. We sang about our God who never fails, and we believe that, and he does never fail, but sometimes it feels like maybe we've been forgotten. And maybe maybe God has failed. And yet he hasn't. Faith helps us to take the next step and the next and to move forward. I have known others who have persevered and shared hope even with other people around them from a bed of affliction. When I first moved to Newcastle, Pennsylvania, I was taken by one of the elders of the church to visit some of the shut-ins. And one shut-in was in the county home. Her name was Peggy, and she was a frail little woman who could not walk. She had to be helped from her bed to a chair to sit up during the day, and she had a sort of a lectern in front of her, a music stand or something, where she had her Bible and a Bible study book that were there, and she would to move the page with the end of a pencil with an eraser. That's how she would turn her pages. The elder warned me ahead of time that she will minister more to you than you will to her. I didn't know what to expect, but it was true. And even there were times when I would go to visit Peggy that I would go in hoping to cheer her up and she would have a smile on her face. And then there were other times where there were workers, nurses, who were there talking with her, and Peggy would pray with them. When they had struggles, they went to her. Peggy lived by faith. And there was a day when Jesus took her home. And funerals are never easy, but that was a celebration. And I could know with confidence that Peggy was complete and whole and rejoicing in God her Savior. Another lady, also from the Newcastle Church, she was a heavier lady. She had some problems with her legs. She had trouble walking, but she persevered, slowly walking down the row to get to her seat. She would come out to church most every Sunday, and she couldn't drive, thankfully, with the struggles that she had, but she would ride in the church van. And the church van wasn't anything with a lift or anything like that. It was one that had a pretty high step, higher than a normal step. It was like getting a second step up there. And so they would bring out a little plastic step, and thankfully they're those sturdy steps, and then get it and have a hold of her and helping her get up into that van. You think of all the effort that she had to make to even get ready for that, and then to get on the van, and then to go, and all the stuff and the struggles. And sometimes when other people would say, I don't feel like going to church today, but you think about Sophie. If Sophie's going to be there, then I can get there too. Sophie, when it was time for testimonies, she would always give thanks to God who is so good. So good. We thank the Lord. She was sort of a hero of faith. I'm sure as I mention these two women, that there are probably people popping up in your mind, people who are heroes of faith, people who have struggled, people who have gone through difficult times. Maybe some of you yourselves are those people who have continued to hold on to faith and to live and to trust and give praise to the Lord. It's not that it's easy, but it's that we have a God who truly never fails. Faith makes the difference. By faith, we continue on. By faith, we even attempt new things. I had an opportunity back when I served in the district office to travel in some different countries in Europe, countries that we did not yet have workers in, but we're hoping to in the Alliance. And years later, we do have workers there. But as I was there, I met a young couple who, with their children, had left a comfortable setting in Virginia and moved to this creative access country in Eastern Europe. And they told their story. They were artists, freelance artists, who worked for the Disney Corporation, but they could do it all remotely. So they did their artwork living in Virginia. They had a very nice home in Virginia and a very nice salary, but they didn't feel like this was all that God had for them. And as they prayed, they just felt this unrest that there's so much to be done. We need to find out what it is. And so a little bit like Abraham, they felt called to go somewhere, but they didn't know where. And so as an adventure, they sold their home and they moved with their family to England, bought a travel van of some kind, and then rode through the Channel and then into France and started going east. All the while, it's quite an adventure, touring and things like that, but they're all the while asking God, is this the place? Is this where you would have us? They were going, waiting to hear that voice. They kept traveling, and they traveled. They made it through Eastern Europe and on into Asia, even ending up clear into China, and they still hadn't heard from God. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? We don't know. And so they started heading back, and when they got to this particular country in Eastern Europe, they had a sense that this was the place. And so they opened up some different businesses to have an opportunity to have something that could give them connection with the people and so they could share their faith. First business failed. So they've gone all this way, done all this, and the first business fails. What's that gonna do to you? Well, then they opened something different. That's the second business is what I got to go and experience and see. But they had such faith. Leave all that behind and just go and see where God takes us. Amazing, amazing. By faith, we endure. Even through shutdowns due to a pandemic a few years ago, we endure through layoffs at our work. We endure through struggles, whether it's in school or in a workplace. By faith, we keep putting one foot in front of the other. Who are today's heroes of faith? Who will be the Abrahams, the Isaacs, the Josephs, the Sarahs, the Marys, the Ezekiels? Who will be those people? Brothers and sisters, let us live our lives by faith, trusting God to keep his promises, for he always keeps his word. Living out our faith each and every day, even in difficult times, we can become encouragers, we can become heroes, we can be examples of faith to others around us. We can live faithfully as a testimony to our friends, to our family, to those who are younger than us, and there are some who are younger that become an example to those of us who are older. We are excited when we see people living out their faith. We can be encouragers who show the love of Jesus to people who rarely receive acknowledgement. To be the one that says, I saw you, I see you, you are important to me and to the Lord. We can be examples of people who endure tough times with an overcoming attitude through faith. Who will be the faith heroes of today? Will you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the examples of these great heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. We've even expressed names of other people who are not listed in this chapter, but who also live by faith. Lord, we pray that you will give us an enduring, strong, resilient faith in Jesus. In the hard times, that we will trust in you. In the hard times when we cry out to you, O Jesus, take my hand, that by faith we hold on to you. In the times of success, Lord, may we recognize your hand in giving us these opportunities. And Lord, that we will make the best use of those opportunities so that we can better serve you and reflect your love to people around us. Lord, help us to be people of faith, people who believe and who trust. Even though we can't yet see it, we believe and we trust in you. Lord, grow us into great men and women of faith whose light for Jesus will shine in the midst of the darkness. In your name we pray. Amen.